Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 178, part 1, Tried Faith. Today is Friday, December 17th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota and is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live anywhere in the state of Minnesota, and you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. That's all there is to it. Just simply call us, register, and you'll be able to come in the next day to pick up groceries and come in once a month after that. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation. You'll see that up at the top of the homepage. You're also going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to check out PastorPaul.org and connect to the online community. You can also call our new comment line. Be sure to do that. The new line is, if you're out of state, 1-877-489-0922. Local, 612-208-0918. So be sure to call the comment line. You can ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. We'll probably post those comments throughout the week at Pastor Paul's blog. So be sure to give us a call. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. So be sure to check those links out after you listen to Pastor Paul's messages. This month, the month of December, here is the lineup. Whatever happened to the will of God for now, Be My Witnesses, Tried Faith, Hypocrisy, and The Spiritual Flood is Coming. Those are the five messages for the month of December, starting with Friday, December 3rd. Be sure to listen to both parts. Part 1 is on Friday. Part 2 is on Sunday. So you can listen to both parts of the same message. The conclusion is on Sunday. Have a great month of December. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. God bless you. And we'll see you back here twice weekly for Pastor Paul's podcast.
Message entitled, Tried Faith. 1 Peter 1 and 7, it says like this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And it says in the Bible, will he find any faith when he comes? Right now, we're in a time of real pressures. We've heard a lot about faith, and we study it. We examine it. We have teaching seminars that people go hundreds and hundreds of miles to learn about it. We say without it, it is impossible to please God, and we know all the right things to say. We say, speak it. Speak the word of faith. And we challenge one another, and we claim much faith. And I believe it is a very great thing if any man can truthfully speak to you about your faith. For all people, I believe, do not have faith. Talking about that heavenly faith. And wherever it is found, it is because it has a divine favor. Now, true faith is in every case the operation of the Spirit of God. It's God working in you. You can't conjure it up. You can't say, I have this. You can't claim that. It's done by the Spirit. Are you hearing this? It's done by the Spirit of the Lord. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He is the one that's going to teach you faith. Well, how does that happen? Not by quick claims, not by crying out bids like at the stock market. Not by memorizing much faith scriptures. Not telling God as Moses and Abraham and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego and David and Samson and Paul and John and Daniel and Joshua believe, so do I. Because God is going to say, well, then you prove it. Prove your faith. Okay, my son, God says, here's a slingshot. Go slay Goliath, the Goliath in your life. Did he argue and say, well, now it's going to take a bazooka to bring that big guy down? No. Okay, my son, jump in the pit with those hungry lions. And they say, well, you send them to the dentist and they can lose all them teeth first. Or part the sea. Hurry up, the Pharaoh's chariots are coming. Part it. Do it by faith. Did he pray for the Golden Gate Bridge to go across and span that water? No. Offer up your son as a sacrifice, like Abraham. Give me your life. Can you give your life? You're going to be called to do that. Are you hearing this? How many are hearing it? It's going to take faith to hear this message. Well, you actually have to sit. See, there's a lot of sleeping Christians that don't hear messages. They come and they walk in, or they're listening on the radio, and they're really not awake. Or march around that wall 7 times until it falls down. Your friends are all going to be howling in laughter. Do something, and then I will believe you. I will believe that you have faith, God is saying. At least arise from your sleeping, claiming position. Well, you know, there's a lot of sleepers. They look like they're awake. They can even sit in church and they can shake their head. And they nod their head and they say amen at the right time. And they say praise the Lord at the right time. And they can even sing in the choir. They can get up and they can sing in the choir and they're asleep. Now, I'm not talking about our choir. But it could be that you're up here asleep and you're really not awake. And you go through the motions and you sing the song. But there's no spirit in it because you're asleep. And you praise the Lord and you get all done with the song and you go back down, you get down here, you walk down the stairs, you're still sleeping. Oh, that's dangerous. And you're still sleeping and you walk down, are you hearing this? And you walk down and you sit down and you're still sleeping. And so you sit in this chair here and you listen to the whole message, but you're not awake. It is really weird to minister to people when they're not awake. And you know they're not awake. They're sleeping. You say, my God, these people aren't hearing anything. They're asleep. Do you ever wake someone up and you shake them real good and you wake them up and you say, are you awake? Yeah, I'm awake. Go away. Leave me alone. I'm awake. And they're not awake. And they sit up and they look like they're awake and they act like they're awake, but they're not awake. And they got this great big blanket print on their face when they come to church, a big rose or some kind of a design on there. They're sleeping yet. They are not awake. I firmly believe that we cannot be in a work like what we're doing right down here and not and see all these things and be awake and not do anything. I really believe that the world sleeps when Ethiopia is in what they're in right now. Starvation by the millions. Someone has got to be sleeping. And maybe while I'm talking to you right now, you're looking right at me. And it could be, I'm just using you because you're here. But you're sleeping. And I thought, oh, what a gosh awful thing. They're not hearing nothing. They're actually asleep. And you can minister the grace of God to people. You can minister the forgiveness to God to people. And they're not awake. And they're sleepwalking. And they go through their day, and they go to their job, and they go through this, and they go through that, and they're asleep. Isn't it strange? Have you ever found out someone's talking to you and say, oh, what'd you say? Huh? And it starts out real young. You can tell your kids 15 times stopping, and you say, did you hear me? And they say yes, and go do the opposite. What's wrong? They are asleep. Are you guys awake today? One time I was ministering, I thought, you know what? I should break out the pillows and charge, you know, $4 a pillow and let the people sleep in here. Then disclaim that the peace of God came through my message and they went to sleep. How many Christians right now are sleepers? They don't hear it. They're kind of like dreaming. They're in a nightmare. You know your life is a nightmare? And some people live in that nightmare. They're sleeping. All of a sudden something comes into their life. It's traumatic. And I speak with some experience there, believe me. And it comes into their life and it deadens them. And they go to sleep. It's sort of like a numbing thing. It numbs them. And so they have this numbs it attitude. Something is wrong, and so they go to sleep. And you talk to them, and they're all balled up with this nightmare. And you say, did you hear me? Oh, what? Oh, where am I? Oh, my God. Oh, I'm at work. How did I get here? Huh? They're in this nightmare of experience, and they're sleeping. How many know what I'm talking about? It's the truth. You've seen them walking downtown. They walk right across the street. They're sleepwalkers. How many are hearing this? And there's whole families that live like that, and they're not aware of anything that's going on around them because they're all locked in a sleeper. They're in a nightmare of existence. What people think of them, what they think of themselves, do I look good? Oh, I hate my body. I hate my face. And they're locked into this kind of thing, and they're sleepers. They're not aware of what's going on at all. How many are hearing this? Or they get locked in on something that's going to happen down the line, and they sleep. They sleepwalk towards a future experience, and they never get into the now. How about getting into the now right now and encouraging the preacher? You're listening on the radio there. Get into the now. I mean, enough learning about faith. Let us go ahead and practice some. First of all, we have to wake up and see the needs of others. First of all, we have to wake up and we have to lay aside all of these teachings. Now, in the hyper-faith movement, there is so much pride involved and there was so much learning involved and there are so many scriptures that we know, it's hard to lay those down. Because now we are very knowledgeable and we can tell people this, and we can tell them, we can quote scriptures like a parrot, we can go on and on and on and on. But it's not reality. Say amen, somebody. It is not reality. Now I see true faith in its nature. It's a purifying, it's an elevating, it's a heavenly thing. I believe also that it is the greatest thing that can be cultivated in the very human breast. And it's called in the Bible, like precious faith. Whew. And wherever faith is found, it is sure, and a very sure mark of your election. The sign, I believe, of a very blessed condition, the forecast of heavenly destiny. It is the eye of the renewed soul. It is the hand of the regenerated mind, the mouth of born of the new spirit. It is the evidence of the spiritual life and all of those things. It is a foundation of delight. And that all sounds very beautiful. But there's one thing that they have left out in all of this talking about faith, and there is a word that must enter into it. Let me add this word today. It must come forth with the faith, and the word is trial. The trial of your faith. Now, hyper-faith people don't believe that. They believe that you can go ahead and confess right past that trial. And they believe if you mention anything like a trial, well, then that's negative. Well, then I guess I have a lot of negative things in my life because it seems like every negative thing is happening to me. But as I move forward in faith, God breaks loose things. Here we were down here. We were planning this huge picnic where probably 5,000 to 6,000 people will be present up here at 26th and Lindale. We didn't have anything. I said, well, we're just going to have to believe God. If he wants us to have this picnic, he's going to bring forth the food. Well, they called me over here at the Minneapolis building. What was that, the Armory? And anyway, they called me over there and they said, listen, they had a bike-a-thon here and there was 4,500 sandwiches left here, ham sandwiches. Can you use them? Well, I said, Lord, that's an answer to prayer. 4,500 packages of individual raisin treats, 4,500 pies, individual pies, 4,500 juices. But we prayed, if it be your will. Well, so we had to go down and pick up all that stuff. And yesterday, God brought in the P-9ers, and they came down here, and they made up some 2,500 sandwiches besides. How did that all get done? By faith. By working hands. How many are hearing this? Didn't have to have a great big sandwich making machine. The people did it. God, bring us a sandwich making machine. No, little hands were there. Helping hands were there. Peanut butter, honey, jelly. Put them in the bag. Put them in the bag. Put them in the box. Put them in the cooler. Huh? That's faith. That's believing. Oh, you look out the window and you say, oh my God, it looks like rain. We got all them sandwiches, Lord, and we got all that pop, and we got that tent that's rented out, and it's going to cost about $700-$800 that we don't have, and Lord, you just can't do this to us. He'll do whatever he wants to. You believe that? Do you believe God will do whatever he wants to? Now, it was a couple years ago, and this woman had had her hair done. And she says, well, we're going to have a concert, and I know God won't let it rain. I says, why? Because I just fixed my hair. I said, well, woman, I said, you know, it's so dry out there, the grasshoppers are eating each other. And you think that God is going to say, I just can't do it to Betsy Lou, I'll just say it like that. Betsy Lou, because she just had her hair done. I said, sister, you're going to be walking around looking like you just stepped out of the shower, because if God wants it to rain, it's good. And it rained. We look outside and we say, my God, it's overcast. God, what are you doing to us? You're going to make fools out of us. Well, it says be a fool for Christ's sake. So we might be out there eating wet, soggy ham sandwiches that God brought our way. How many are hearing this? Oh, see, faith is like the sword, not worn in parades, not to polish for all to see, not to walk with your big sword down the street singing, I love a parade. No. Or for someone to say, look at the size of Pastor Paul's faith sword. That hasn't got one single solitary thing to do with it. Say amen, somebody. Ooh, are you hearing this? Now I counsel a lot of people. A lot of times people will come and prophesy over me, and they'll tell me I'm this and I'm that and so on like that, some good, some bad. No, faith is the sword made for battle. It's counting on the Lord. It is to wound and to slay the enemy. Are you here? And listen, there's going to be a lot of faith battles in between here and heaven. Say amen, somebody. You think it's all going to be a bed of roses? I know, talking to Jim, it just encouraged me that there are people out there that are suffering right now from the very thing that came out of this thing about 14 years ago, and I call it the hyper-faith movement. People all over are laying in the aisles wondering what happened. Say amen. But anyway, the gift of faith makes us want to have it. You see, because my believing is my living. One minute I start and I stop believing, that's when I start to die a little bit. Isn't it? Don't you believe for a brighter day? It isn't that you're going to have a brighter day, but don't you believe for a brighter day? Don't you believe for the next day? Well, you believe for it, you might not have it. Don't you believe that things are going to work out in your life? Yeah, you do. Don't you believe these things? And see, as we believe, it doesn't mean it's always going to work out the way we think it's going to work out. See, get one thing straight here, radio audience, people listening to this tape, even here, that faith takes you along a road. It isn't always a rosy path. And God is always trying your faith. How do you know it's any good until it's tried? And you know something? The bigger your faith, the bigger the trial. And they're up there, and the angels are up there, and they say, well, we've given them the 25-watt light bulb faith treatment. Let's zap them with the 100-light watt, that kind of treatment. And it goes up to 1,000. Your faith is going to be tried. Say amen. And your faith is going to go through tribulation, and it's going to go through sorrow, and it's going to go through suffering. And people are going to say, well, you know, if you had more faith, this wouldn't happen to you. How would you like to be in a wheelchair, and some hyper faith nut would come over to you and say, do you believe you can get out of that wheelchair? You're sitting out here and Donaldson's or Dayton out there in the mall, and you've already had four or five of these people come up and squeeze your head like a pimple and tell you to get up out of that chair. And then they leave you sitting there and tell you, don't have no faith, brother. Start to believe, and then I'll pray for you. See, you don't know until you're in that wheelchair. And a lot of times there's more joy in that wheelchair than the nerd that's walking around praying over the people in the wheelchair. How many are hearing this? God spoke to me to pray over you and to have this thing to happen. And they're running all over, and people are saying, you know what? The Church of Jesus Christ has gone nuts. I'm not saying you don't pray for the sick, but you better be led by the Lord. You go up to, out there to Donaldson's and Dayton's and run around out there in that mall out there, they'll kick you out of there. They'll say, get that person out of here. Say amen. I even seen a person go and pick the guy up, pull him right out of the wheelchair. Try to make him walk. Well, when you talk like what I'm talking about right now, they say, well, brother, maybe that God did speak to him. Maybe. I'm saying that people are going off, and they're getting off. And they're getting into their self, and they're elevating their self, and they're saying, well, this is the way it is, and it's still going on. When will it ever die? When will it please lay down and die, and we will pray for the will of God? Say, Lord, let your will be done. Now, we're afraid to pray that way, because people will say, well, hey, the will of God is to do this, and the will of God is to do that. No, the will of God is to do as He chooses. And the will of God is to do as He pleases to do in your life. Do you think for a minute that if I knew everything that was going to happen in my life, that I would even want to be here, or you'd want to be here? Now just think about it. Think about it. Do you want to know? Do you want to claim everything in your life and want to know everything in your life that's going to happen? No, I don't. I mean, I've had enough happen. I don't want to go ahead and see, you know what's going to happen up there ahead. Do you? Not me. No. Faith is believing, and believing is doing what God wants you to do. Listen, kids. Are you hearing me here today? You're going to get into things, and there's going to be all kinds of teachings and people that will be taking you around and telling you, well, this is the way. And I had some people in here the other night. They were so beautiful. They'd been coming down. They'd been helping in the kitchen and all this and going along just fine. But when they came, I told them, I says, now look, let me tell you what this church is all about. It is a working church. And don't let somebody come along and take you off into some kind of a faith teaching. Because you're going to learn faith by doing. Then, like I said, Friday night, two guys came in here, and they stood up in front of the counter. I had people standing in line, waiting for groceries. One person with a cane, another one standing there all like a factory reject. And they're just people that really needed help. And these guys come in, and they said, what is your doctrine? Where are you coming from? Where were you ordained? And they asked all these questions, and I answered them the best I could, and I said, well, now let me ask you a question. Why are you asking all these questions? You know what I mean? Why are you asking, do you believe in the faith movement? Do you believe in this? Do you believe in that? I said, well, what's your doctrine? I said, my doctrine is the doctrine of do. And if you want to find out anything about me, you come down here and start doing. And as you're doing these things, I'll tell you a little bit more about myself. And I'm not going to tell you anymore. The doctrine of do. How many want to get into the doctrine of do? You guys got into the doctrine of do. You got into the doctrine of do yesterday. Did you like it? Sure you did. And there's more fun to be had. I'm not going to let you get away like that. You're having fun in the doctrine of do. Now, you weren't here. You didn't have no fun. You were here. You were in the doctrine of do. We'll catch up with you. I went out by faith to minister. And I got down to the P-Niners down there in Austin. And I have to say this because you guys weren't here Friday night, but I started looking out over the crowd there. It was like 200 P-Niner people there. And they got up and they saluted the flag, and I just touched my heart, these older people there that were there and younger people and all these people that were, you know, out of jobs. And I felt the gospel of Jesus Christ stirring in me. And so I ministered the gospel, and that's what I've been sent to do. And I led all 200 of them people to the Lord Jesus Christ right there in that big old union hall. Why is that? Because we have the doctrine of do. Are you hearing this? So many times we can sleep right on past what God wants us to do. Are you hearing this? You got to expect trials. Going down there was a trial. Getting up there was a trial. Facing those people was a trial. Getting up that Holy Ghost boldness is a trial. But it's the trying your faith that brings a result. Are you hearing this? And right now in my own life, in my own personal life, people are waiting for me to see what I'm going to do in my particular trial. And you know what? The song came to me. Are you sincere when you say you love me? That's what came to me when I had to make certain choices. How many have heard that song? Are you sincere? Are you really going to give your life? See, I know this, that the trial proves your faith strength. Sometimes we think we have a real strong faith. I thought that about myself. I find out, oh, how weak it really is. And I really get into the depths of things and really start moving in things that really I really care about and so on like that. It seems like my faith just sort of, you know, dwindles away, and it seems like I have no faith at all. And I thought, well, now what's happening? God says, well, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. You are at a point right now where I can really use you. You're laying in the floor. You can barely make it to the next meeting. You're this, you're that. Bills are surrounding you. People are surrounding you. Discussions are surrounding you. A popular opinion is surrounding you. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And you say, Lord, God, I'm having to make decisions in my life that are horrendous. I got preachers watching me. I got people watching me. I mean, they're all circling. I feel like I'm in the amphitheater in Rome. I'm feeling like at any moment it might be thumbs down. Lord, what do I do in this situation? And he says, you move by faith.
Say amen.
The decisions that I have made in my life, and I'm just going to share this with you, and you on the radio. The decisions that I have made in my life can either make or break. But they're all good. All things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Say amen, somebody. Are these decisions easy to make? No, they are trials. They are lay awake at night trials. There are no sleep. You ever been in that kind of a thing where you have no rest and it seems like the bedclothes is too, you know, they're too short and you can't get them up around you and the bed is too narrow and you know what I mean? A very uncomfortable situation. But you know what? When you obey the Lord, you have a peace. Right now, in my situation, I have peace. Now, I can't explain exactly how I have it. By faith, one night, I said, God, I need peace. I have a work to do. Lord, will you give me peace? And the Lord spoke to me, and He says, keep your mouth shut. Go on with the work that I've called you to do, and I will supply you. And I will take care of you. You move in faith. Can you do it right now? It hasn't been easy. Say amen, somebody. But I hope that I am an encouragement to a lot of preachers out there right now that might be going through similar situations. And I know a lot of them that are out there. Say amen, somebody. I know that the trials are necessary to remove this dross out of my life. Are you hearing it? Oh, God. Ooh, it's an experience that I'll just have to live through. Here we are, caught up in a work down here on the north side. Very burdensome work. Are you hearing this? God says, move on, go on. And so the fire grows fiercer and the mass grows smaller than before. And Pastor Paul is now a little teeny ball. But you know something? It's getting tried by fire, and it's going to be worse something in the end. Say amen, somebody. Say amen. Can you do it? Is there any loss? No. Only to our pride. Say amen. Only to your pride. What's pride?
What are people going to think of me? Oh, God. What do I ever think? Oh, Lord.
Huh? Do you lose your pride? Do you get humbled? You get all your clothes burnt off. It's kind of humbling. Running around with a smoking diaper when you were a great big man of God hearing a preacher out there. Oh. And a smoking diaper when, you know. Okay, but this all is good. It's a trying of your faith. Will you make it? How will you stand? Now, you guys know that this church, how many trials has this church had? Down through the years. A lot of them. Say amen, somebody. You know what? If God is faithful to take you through one thing, think back on the things that God has taken you through, and He'll continue to take you through things. My God is able. Say amen, somebody. And in that time of trial, don't you scream out, God, what are you doing? Oh, look at them guys out there. They did this, they did that. You just take your fire. It's the trying of your faith, not someone else's. Don't worry about them people out there. Don't worry about that person out there or that group out there. Think on yourself. It's the trying of your faith. Thinking on this thing right now, I say, my God, how are we going to make it through this thing? Lord, we've had another exodus. Exoduses are spooky, aren't they? What is an exodus? Oh, that's when a group of people decide they don't like you anymore. And they leave. Isn't that something? We talk about love and we talk about all these things and we walk up to each other. I have decided that I don't like you anymore. You are a nerd. Goodbye. Is that right? What would you think of Pastor Paul if he did that? Now, you like me a lot. I can tell. I like you a lot. You can tell. Then one day, just because the way you chew your gum in church, like, don't choke yourself swallowing it, though. You say, you know what, kid? I don't like you. Does that humble you? Preacher, are you hearing us? And you've been with people for years and years and years, and you've helped their families, and you've counseled with their kids, and you've been in jails with them. You've been up nights with them. You've been a referee. You know, you made popcorn during the fight so they can enjoy popcorn while they're going at it. I mean, you've done everything in these families. And all of a sudden, they walk up and they say, you know what? I can't stand your guts. Goodbye. Now, that kind of wounds you, doesn't it, Pastor? What are you going to do about it? Well, you just got to keep moving on in faith. Isn't that right? Say amen. Well, what other course do you have to take?